Good evening.
All right.
God's good, and what an amazing Father we serve, man. I'm going to set up right here tonight because this is the short version of the service. When you get up there, that's the long one. Brother Scott, me and Brother Scott was over home this evening. He was talking to Brother Preston, and he had him on speaker, and he said he was going to eat his gumbo and to make sure he told me not to take 2 hours or whatever, something like that. He said, I said, oh, tell him, don't worry about it. I said, by the time he warms his gumbo and he get back home, it's still going to be warm. But God's good. You know, I think that song we was just singing, it's, man, it's so awesome and it's so powerful to know that wherever we was, where I was, he came and found me. I tell you what, it was, man, where he came and found me is just, it's so amazing because where I was headed was, it was headed for destruction. It was, man, if he would have seen fit to let the devil have his way and to take me out, I would have bust hell wide open. And I tell you what, it would have been a sad, sad situation. But I'm so thankful for the opportunity that he's given me to be here, to share his word. And it's amazing. Tonight I'm going to talk about peace. You know, I was just, over about the last week or two, I've been watching the news, and I hardly ever watch the news, and I don't know, I was at work maybe, and I was just like, man, let me just watch this for a little bit. And it's disturbing, you know, just to see all of the hate that people, that humans have for one another. You know, just to take someone's life just because, man, that's it's disturbing. It's very, very disturbing. And, you know, you can watch it, and you might want to say, well, Christians shouldn't feel that way. But, you know, you get worried. You get fearful a little bit. It disturbs you just thinking about all the stuff that's going on. But I want to start in Isaiah 9:6. And I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. In Mark 4:35 through 41. It's talking about, you know, this is when Jesus got in the boat to go to the other side, and Jesus had peace. And that same peace that he had is in us. We just have to, live it out. It takes faith. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. When he said, silence, be still, some in the NASB, And I think in here in the King James, it says, peace, be still. You know, there's storms that might try to brew up in our lives. And, you know, we just have to take complete control of it. We just have to tell it, you know, peace, be still. Because the same exact peace that he had, we have. And I thank him for that peace. I was doing this a couple of days ago. I was doing this, started studying and praying towards this, and last night it's crazy, it's amazing how God is, because we had a late game, a real late game in Chalmette, and we missed the all ferries because it was like 11 right at 12 when the game ended. So we had to go all the way through New Orleans. And here we go through this. You know, you start thinking because everybody in the crowd is like, man, we don't want to go through New Orleans. You got to go through the Ninth Ward. You got to go through here and there. And boy, let me tell you, we get in the truck and we going. And we have no sense of direction, me and my wife. So we going and this, we headed supposedly going towards New Orleans. Then this one of these bridges that you got across to get New Orleans is closed. So we turned down this street. Lord have mercy. Peace definitely, it just started coming in my head about this scripture. I mean, about the message. I'm like, God, you're so good. Because it got a little tense in the vehicle. She's like, well, why you didn't go a little further? Well, I don't know why I went a little further. I just started to turn right here. It was the first turn I seen. I seen the lights was flashing and it's telling you to detour. And I'm like, man, so we're going through the hood. I'm talking about it. And it was scary. It was scary. It made her sick. I think she was so scary. She had a headache and everything else. But it got pretty tense. But I thank God for his peace, though, man, because we don't have to fear nothing. We don't have to fear anything. And we will, because it's just, we're human. You know, that will come upon us, you know. But we have to know that we have the ability and the power, the same power that he has to rebuke fear. You know, our world is full of violence. Our daily lives can be disturbed by it, by all the conflict and turmoil, because we're human. But in John 16:33, it says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. But God promises his people a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I thank him for that peace that surpasses all understanding that he gives us in Psalms 4:8. I definitely need some of that understanding last night that when we was going, because it wasn't nice. I was like, look, we just going to sleep by the motel. She's like, no, we going to church. I'm like, all right, well, we going to New Orleans then, if we going to church. If we need to be at church, we going to New Orleans. Here we go. Psalms 4:8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. Wow. You know, some nights can get pretty restless. You know, you go to bed with a heavy heart. You go to bed thinking about a lot of stuff, you know, just life in general. And, you know, everybody's got bills. You got kids that you worry about. You know, your job nowadays is, but, you know, with him, You can sleep and not have to worry about nothing when you wake up the next morning. Just know that he'll have our back and he'll have complete control of it. Psalms 29:11. Serving God is awesome. It's fun. It's fun serving God. I love it. I really, really do. And I know you do also. Psalms 29:11. It said, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. And that's where our strength and peace come from our Father. And we have to know that when we want peace, it's not trying to go through somebody else or trying to read a book. Let's look to him for our peace, because he is our strength and our peace. Psalms 85:8. It says, I listen carefully to what God the Lord is saying, for he speaks peace to his faithful people, but let them not return to their foolish ways. So we have to stay faithful. In order to have that peace, that everlasting peace that he gives, we have to stay faithful to him, stay faithful to his word. Isaiah 26, 12. It says, Lord, you will grant us peace. All we have accomplished is really from you. Isaiah 54:10. It says, for the mountains may move and the hills disappear, but even then my faithful love for you will remain. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. The King James Version has it, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, said the Lord that had mercy on thee. So it's not just any, it's a covenant. And his covenant is where we want to be, under his covenant. And I thank him for that. Isaiah 41:10. It says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. 1 Peter 1, 2. This is a letter from Peter. Start with verse 1. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the province of Pontus, Galatia. Oh, that's some big words. Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. 2 John 1:3. It says, grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. Grace and mercy and peace, which come from only God, our Father, and from his Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. So all we have to do is live in truth and love, and his grace will continue to be with us. I have a couple questions that I wrote down, and I have a scripture or two to go with one. If you want to write these questions down and think about them, because, you know, I thought about them over here these last couple days. It says, the first one is, when conflict comes, do I strive to make peace or add fuel to the fire? When conflict comes, do I strive to make peace or add fuel to the fire? And this is what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:33. See what the word says about that. All right, the question one more time. It says, when conflict comes, do I strive to make peace or add fuel to the fire? It says, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. As in all the meetings of God's holy people. So that's what he wants from us. He don't want us to be the one who's causing conflict or strife. He expects us to make peace. He wants us to make peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Second Thessalonians 3:16. Okay, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Second question, what areas of my life or actions demonstrates that I am truly a peacemaker? Romans 15:13. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confidence, hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's how we can that's one of the ways we can demonstrate it, is let it be an overflowing from us to other people. In Philippians 4:6-7. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Third question, do I know the difference between godly peace and the world's peace? Do I know the difference between godly peace and the world's peace? And the scripture tells us about that. It tells us the difference. John 14:27. It says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So that's how we know the difference, because the world can't give us the peace that God can give us. Only God can give us that peace. The world can give us a lot of headache. That's what it can give us, and a lot of mixed feelings. But God is not a God of confusion, and I thank him for that. The fourth question, it says, considering specific interactions with others, acts, did my email, phone call, text, Facebook posts, conversation, or behavior promote peace or strife? Romans 14, 17 through 19. I'm about to read it one more time. Consider specific interactions with others, acts. Did my email, phone calls, text, Facebook posts, conversation, behavior promote peace or strife? You know, I don't want, that's what none of us want. We don't want that. We don't want to cause, we don't want to promote peace or strife between not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to the world, because we have to be that light. We have to be that beacon. So we have to show them the peace that we have, and that God provides for us. And in Romans 14, 17 through 19, it says, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. For instance, he sends you rain and good crops. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in way in Acts. Romans 14, 17 through 19. It says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. You know, so that's the kind of life I want to live. That just like he says right here, that, you know, we will not only please him, but we will please others. Because, you know, so many people needs us to be that light and that beacon and to share the gospel with them. And we need to have that peace that he talks about right here. And now Psalms 119, 165. Is another answer to this question. Ain't it amazing how you can just have these questions, you can go straight to the Word of God and answer these questions that you deal with on, you know, throughout life and just on daily occasions. Psalms 119, 165, it says, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. I don't want to cause no one to stumble because of my actions or my behavior. You know, I don't want to promote that peace. I don't want to promote that strife. I want to promote peace in their life. I want them to see a peace of God that's in me and that they'll have a hunger for. And that's what draws people to the Lord, you know, our actions. It says, imagine a world, and we get into the end. It says, imagine a world where people actually let others wear. It says, imagine a world where people would actually let others finish speaking instead of interrupting them, where people don't have heated arguments, where differences are settled with patience rather than fists, guns, or etc., where people show compassion to others even when they don't deserve it. Imagine that when that will come. And this is when it says there will be world peace one day when Yeshua returns to earth and sets up Yahweh's kingdom. Until then, it is up to us as believers and followers of Yeshua to show the world the spiritual calm, peace we receive by having by knowing Yahweh and growing in the fruit of the Spirit, peace. You know, there's all these peace treaties that they write. And as soon as they write them, they break them. That quick. It doesn't even last. You can go do search history, and it's crazy. But the only true peace that we're going to have is when he comes and set up that kingdom. That will be, what a day that will be. You know, there will be no more fighting and no more bickering and no more arguing. And it's so amazing to know how wonderful it is going to be to live here on earth at that time. You know, and if we're here, whether we're here to see it before or after the resurrection, it's going to be an awesome time just to be here to see that. And I thank him for that. And that's all I have for tonight. I thank y'all for coming. Let's be in prayer. Let's remember passing them traveling. Let's still be in prayer for Sister Glory and them that, you know, we coming against that sickness. It has no right and no authority, and down to the cellular level. And I just thank y'all again. I appreciate y'all for coming and listening. Thursday night Bible study, 6:30. One of us, me or